It is Tuesday, and that means it's time for our food fairy godmother to come and tell us how to eat and what to eat mindfully. But this week, I think with it being like proper winter, it's really cold. We need something really nice because all I want right now, Izelle Hoffman, is chocolates, chocolates, chocolates. Hello, Izelle.
Hi, Danny. How are you doing this week? Apart from the fact that you want chocolates.
Well, so it's cold. Even my dogs are now cold. Yeah. And I don't like winter. So I like to eat in winter. And I'm trying very hard not to eat. And being a vegan and on a vegan diet, I'm trying to do the raw cacao thing. And it's just not the same as that purple slab full of sugar and everything that I love so much.
But you know what, Danny, maybe we should just chat about that for a second. If you say you're trying the raw cacao situation, what exactly are you doing with raw cacao? Because maybe I can assist in the matter.
So I've tried it as a hot chocolate. I've tried to put it in my smoothies in the morning with like honey to make it like nice and chocolatey. I've tried the nibs, which aren't terrible, but they're also not as satisfying as the normal quote unquote chocolate. What should I be doing? How should I be eating raw cacao?
So for me, I'm going to actually share my hot chocolate recipe with you. And yes, you have to take it step by step because there's one key step that you have to do. Otherwise, it does not go exceptionally creamy. But it actually tastes like melted chocolate mousse if you make it correct. Mm. Okay?
Okay.
So what I do is, let's talk about a portion for one. So I always make use of 1 cup of unsweetened almond milk. Of course, my preferred one that I always make use of because there's no sunflower oil or cornstarch in. Then roughly on that can be anything depending on how chocolatey you like. So I'm a dark chocolate person. So I go for 1 heaped proper like sort of proper heaped teaspoon of raw cacao in there. Okay. If you prefer a more just milk chocolate one, you can just do a standard heaped teaspoon, not the Everest mountain situation like I'm going for, okay? And then with that, you have to add a pinch of salt, good quality salt like Oryx, of course, 1/2 teaspoon of caramel essence, 1 tablespoon of raw honey, and then here is the secret ingredient, 1 scoop of a clean, unflavored collagen. And I need to explain why. Because first of all, collagen acts as a creamer, but it's also a fantastic, fantastic immune boost in the sense of it actually heals your gut, but it's also great for skin, hair, nails, everything that tends to dry out this time of the year and just looks like it needs a little bit of love and attention. But it's also fantastic for your joints. So for that reason, you then mix all of this together and you have to put it in a small little pot on the stove and allow it to start heating up. Because, you know, the thing is with almond milk, as soon as you mix it and there's a clash of temperatures, it tends to curdle. And remember, if something curdles, it's not going to look as appealing as you might think it is, okay? Mm. So you're going to mix all of this together and then put it on the stovetop. And I usually put it on my standard comfortable temperature of number 7 because that's the temperature that I don't burn things, but it also doesn't heat up too quickly. So it's my perfect safe zone temperature on my stove. And then you use a whisk, funny enough, and you keep foaming that up in the pot till it starts boiling up. And then you pour it in a cup and I promise you, you're going to phone me. It's like, Izelle, where have you been all my life? Because it tastes like a melted slab of chocolate with no bad or reason for you to feel bad to consume it because it's only healing. It's alkalizing. It's full of antioxidants. Remember, raw cacao's got calcium in, which is fantastic. Plus that scoop of collagen. And I'm going to tell you, you can thank me later.
Because I hear collagen is really good for your skin, right? For the elasticity and for wrinkles and stuff.
Yeah, and for everything else too. Remember, like your joints also need collagen as well as your hair and your nails. So it's not just your skin. But also what a lot of people don't know is your gut needs collagen as well. So again, healthy gut, healthy body, healthy mind. The main reason I take collagen specifically. And I love a brand called Onitricia. And the reason for that is because it's the only unflavored one that I find on the market. And I'm happy to share details with you later as well. I promise you, you can add that to any and everything. But I started using it because of my history with osteoporosis and arthritis. And, you know, for overall well-being. So if you ever wondered why I always have a glowy skin, now you've got the answer, Danny. So make note. So it's not about only consuming it in winter. I actually take it as a daily supplement all year round.
And I know that your dog Maki Moo takes it as well, right?
Yeah, so we've got the cutest little speckled Dachshunds, and Dachshunds are prone to, you know, low back problems, especially when they get older. So yes, she doesn't know it. She just thinks mommy puts extra love in her food because she doesn't just get her, you know, her biscuits, as we call it. So it's a chicken a la moo or bikkie bolognese. So she always have this choice of the two. There's like a chicken or beef situation in this house. And then I always mix the meaty part with a teaspoon of collagen and a little bit of hot water till it becomes like a gravy situation or a sauce. And then I pour them over her biscuits. And I promise you, she is like a teddy with a heartbeat. She is so soft and cuddly. And of course, since I've been doing that since last year, I think it was February, I already started with it. You know, this time of the year when it gets cold, she doesn't have that grogginess when it comes to her lower back. So it's a win-win for everyone.
And I've also just got to put in here that collagen isn't necessarily vegan, but there are great options for vegan collagen. I have one that's aloe vera based, and it's also not flavored. You can put it in anything, and it's really, really good. And I've seen the difference in my nails. I really have.
Yes. 100%. And that's why I always say to people, start reading labels. There is a product out there for whichever need you have, or, you know, whichever diet you decide to follow. You know, I'm not vegan. However, I am cautious of the amounts of red meats and things like that I take in from an acidity point of view, but each to your own, like you said. You know, there is alternatives like the one you are talking about. And I'm also sure you can give that to your little sausage dog or other dogs if you had, for that matter. I do know Rottweilers, if I'm not mistaken, or Dobermans also is prone to hip problems.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think, you know, if you're a dog mommy or daddy out there, and maybe that is the kind of dog breed that you have at home, maybe just, you know, read up on it a little bit and, you know, start adding a bit to their food, because I think it can make a world of a difference.
And our food, especially for the face. I mean, skin is all we have, and it's the first, it's your brand, right? It's the first thing people see is your face, and you want a good one. So if you're doing bad things, let's have a glass of red wine or the odd scaly cigarette somewhere. You should be having more collagen.
100%. But also don't forget to take your half a teaspoon of bicarb before you go to bed at night, because that's also going to neutralize all the excess acidity, right?
Nikita Zell keeping us young and healthy forever.
And glowing. We have to be glowing all year round.
Okay, so let's talk about this, because you're an author, you're a lifestyle chef. You live and breathe this lifestyle. And I mean this with all the greatest love in my heart. Like, you are someone that I look to as being really, really invested in your health, but also in the health of other people. And in your book, Mindful Eating, you have 78 incredible recipes, but none of them are just like thrown together. Everything is put together in the recipe with a reason, because something is maybe acidic, something is going to be more alkalizing, something has this vitamin, and if you eat it with like a black pepper, for example, it will up that vitamin intake or the absorption. So I just wanted to go back to the basics. Mindful eating.
Yes.
What does that mean, and how can we do that in our daily lives, even if we don't have your book yet?
Danny, maybe I should start in the beginning. So a lot of people, maybe this is the first time, you know, you hear of me or my story, but I was actually born with congenital hip dysplasia. I've had 14 hip operations to date, and I actually started my food and health journey out of desperation. And I think maybe I'm saying that today because maybe there's desperate people out there today saying, you know, my joints are killing me. I'm struggling with all these health problems. You know, I'm just not getting better. And we're not talking about flu because it's winter. We are talking about overall health and well-being. For me, mindful eating and the meaning behind that is, you know, your body is like perfectly put together, and any and every single cell in your body has got a function. So everything is working together in a certain way. So if you're going to be adding fuel, in our case food, to the body, and you don't know what the effect is going to be on the body, how can you actually then say, but you're putting your health first if you are consuming that? So mindful eating is about start reading labels, understanding the effect that certain ingredients can have on your body, and becoming more mindful about the combination of foods that you eat. The more acidic you're going to be, the more prone you are going to be to disease and illnesses and discomfort and things like that. And the more the alkaline or perfect pH you strive to be, the more overall healthy you are going to be. So certain things like animal proteins and dairy specifically, alcohols, sugars, processed foods, all of these things cause unnecessary excess acidity. So if there's people out there and say, but you know, those are all the things that I love, I'm not saying, okay, if you make a decision, you can never consume that ever. All I'm saying is, if you decide to eat that piece of red meat, which is going to cause some acidity, what are you going to be pairing that with to sort of try and neutralize some of that excess acidity buildup? Yeah. Now, sweet potatoes, your leafy greens, things like your peppers, all the anti-inflammatory, alkaline sort of ingredients is then what you should be adding to your plate in order to have that balanced plate of food at the end of the day. Because so often people say to me, no, but isn't a balanced plate of food that you need to have all the different food groups on your
meat,
on
potatoes,
your
plate, and rice and veg with potatoes?
Yes, but you can have a balanced plate of food from the food group perspective, but all of the items on your plate can be acidic. So I'm not saying by putting all the different food groups on your plate is wrong. I'm just saying be more cautious of what you decide to pair with what. And that is sort of what the whole principle behind mindful eating is. And that's sort of the way that I put recipes together. I sort of write recipes the other way around. I always put all the right ingredients on my counter or my kitchen table. And then I ask myself, what can I make with this today that is going to bring out all the beautiful flavors and sort of, you know, combine everything together to make a scrumptious, beautiful, delicious, heartwarming meal? And that's sort of the starting point for every single recipe that you find in Mindful Eating, because I've sort of done the thinking for you. Yeah. There's always a reason, like you say earlier, you know, if I say today I'm using a bit of almond flour, there's a reason for that. You'll, for instance, see a lot of my meat recipes, there's always a sprinkle of almond flour or garnish with almond flour, or sort of make a mix together with a few other ingredients that you sort of add to it. A lot of my grilled items, for instance, if you think of chicken wings and things like that, they're always sprinkled with almond flour. Why? Well, first of all, when you grill things and you're going to put a sauce over, you need to add a flour or a powdery element so that the sauce can stick to the meat. And so often restaurants and traditional recipes uses normal flour to fulfill that function. So I'm not saying let's reinvent the wheel. I'm just saying, well, let's use a different flour that's actually alkalizing. So already, if you're going to be adding that then to something that is of base, you know, going to cause acidity, then already you're neutralizing a little bit of that. So by the time that reaches your plate, it's a lot less acidic than it would have been without that ingredient.
And this is, you know, you're listening, I'm sure if you're listening for the first time, it's a lot to take in. But I promise you, the more you go back and listen to the podcast, and the more you follow Izelle on Instagram and Facebook, the more she's in your head, and the more you're going to start reaching for those things instead of the bad things, the quote unquote bad things, because there's no really such thing as bad food. It's just some food is better for you than other food. And she gets into your head, and you start to look for these things yourself. Like she says, read the labels. I've been reading every label, everything. Oh my gosh, it's becoming an obsession.
So Danny, rule of thumb is, if you can't pronounce it, then don't consume it, because you don't know what it is, and you also don't know what effect that is going to have on your body.
Truth. Okay, so now today, it is our one ingredient lockdown challenge, and today's one ingredient is one of my favorites. I love this ingredient with my whole heart. I love it in summer. I love it in winter. I used to love it in cocktails. I love it in desserts. I love it cooked. I love it raw. I love pineapple.
Oh, yeah, I must. I even said in my book, you know, it's my ultimate favorite fruit. Reason being, you know, if I really feel like, if I think summer and I think pool or I think beach, I think pineapple, you know. Mm-hmm. If I think sort of a yummy fruity combination to something like, you were talking about pizza the other day, you know, things like that, you know, pineapple always comes to mind. It's a natural sweet ingredient that you can even add to savory dishes, and it really just enhances flavor. But of course, you know, apart from the fantastic, vibrant taste that it's got, I've got my other reasons, of course, why it is one of my ultimate favorite fruits. And that is because it's anti-inflammatory, and it also reduces inflammation in joints and muscles specifically. But it also boosts your immunity, and it improves blood circulation. Now, again, Danny, you know my background, arthritis, osteoporosis, been struggling with joint problems my whole life. That's why it is sort of my go-to fruit at all times. So I can indulge without feeling guilty and have that extra slice whenever I feel like it, because I don't really count the calories in something like a pineapple, because a lot of people say, oh, but remember, there is still sugars in there. But yes, but I'm eating it from a health point of view. So to me, the composition of it is almost irrelevant.
Okay, but now you brought up something that was really polarizing last year. The people were fighting on Facebook about, and they were fighting the pineapple and pizza debate. Giselle, you must be very careful which side you're on here, my friend, because it's heavy.
So here's my thing. First of all, I need to be very honest with you. I only eat pizza if I make it at home, because of course then I can control the ingredients from the base to every single topping that I place on top of my pizza. Now, so when it comes to things like a pizza, and I need to state my argument here so I don't step on any toes, but to me that is like a tomato. Okay. I don't like cold, half-cooked tomato. I love tomato fresh in a salad, or it must be proper grilled and, you know, beautiful in a sauce, warm, roasted, you know, so it can't be an in-betweener. And I feel that's sort of where pineapple fails on a pizza, because of course it sort of tends to get cold on the pizza. So now you've got a half-cooked pineapple that went cold. Mm. So yes, from that perspective, I'm not a fan. But if it's warm in a sauce, in a dish, and you still get to consume it as part of something, I'm all for it. If it's cold and it's frozen and it's maybe in a smoothie, or you even made a sorbet with it, I'm all for it. But I'm also for it fresh as is. But don't give it to me half cooked and cold. Then I also don't like it.
But also, I suppose you're looking at it from a health perspective, right? If you're going to have pizza and you're going to put cheese on pizza, which is acidic, then to put the pineapple and the veggies as a topping would actually be really beneficial, regardless of the taste.
Yeah, but remember, cheese itself is not acidic. It's going to cause acidity because it causes inflammation. Okay. Yes. But if I'm, for instance, when I make pizza at home, and I make 100% rye flour base, okay, and then I start with my tomato paste or puree, which is usually proper, a clean tomato puree, and then I will add a herb like your sweet basil, mixed herbs, Italian herbs, and things like that. So that's sort of the base. And now you can decide on toppings. Now, I'm quite a fan of your pepperdew pizza, pepperdew chicken, and pineapple combination. But again, I make the pizza bites such a size that you can consume the whole one without it going cold. So the rest you sort of keep warm. Mm-hmm. Then I'm all for it. But if I'm going to be making a big pizza and I'm going to put it out on the table because maybe we've got friends or something like that come over, I usually have the pineapple fresh on the side that you can add on top of the pizza, maybe with fresh rocket or other herbs that you might fancy, and then sort of you top it off like that. But it, like I said, you can't have it hot and then let it sit there for an hour before you're going to consume it, because then I would actually take the pineapple off and go and replace it with a fresh one.
Okay, so we're talking about pineapple, but we are not making pizza today, Giselle Hoffman. What are you going to share with us today?
So, Danny, like I said, I had a little bit of a blunt moment because after we decided on pineapple, and there was so much to talk about because pineapple and avo to me is one of those ingredients you can almost add it to any meal. So it's a fantastic add-on. But the recipe we're discussing today is actually a sweet potato and strawberry tart recipe. But if you top it with pineapple, think of pina colada, then that's sort of the combination you are getting because it gives you the healthier version of a milk tart sort of consistency, and you're going to top it then with fresh pineapple. So again, there comes the pizza argument, not half-cooked pineapple. It's going to be fresh pineapple that you're actually going to be topping this tart with afterwards, after it's even cooled off before you serve it. Because obviously, if you're going to put the fresh pineapple on a warm tart once it comes out of the oven, it is sort of going to sweat a little bit and have that, am I cooked or supposed to be cooked, or what exactly am I situation? And that's what we're trying to avoid for ultimate taste, of course.
Okay, so in the book, it's on page 120. And if you want to cook it, all you need to do to get the copy of your copy of Mindful Eating, you can download the ebook. The link you can buy it is on jacarandafm.com. Just look for my blog post. But also, Izelle Hoffman is very kindly giving one away tonight. So all you need to do is SMS Mindful Eating to 37942. It's on page 120. And what was the sweet potato and strawberry tart is now going to be the sweet potato and pineapple tart. Right?
Yes. And I even made a side note, they're impressive enough to impress the in-laws. And maybe you can throw in a few fun facts from a health perspective, because then your mother-in-law is going to like you. If you're like, mom, you know what? I'm looking after your arthritis and your immune system, and I'm boosting it with an extra little bit of X, Y, and Z, I promise you she is going to be impressed with you.
No, look, my mother-in-law is never going to like me, but I mean, I'll just eat the time myself.
Well, now we're back to the previous argument. You know, you don't only have to make an effort in the kitchen if you've got friends or people or family coming over. You can also make that little bit of effort for yourself. Yeah. Because remember, self-love starts with, you know, doing those little things for yourself we tend to do for other people. And, you know, cooking is one of the biggest flaws I feel a lot of people make when it comes to themselves, because so often you speak to someone saying, oh, I just had this for dinner, or didn't really make an effort because it's just me at home this evening. You know, maybe if you feel like not doing anything, fantastic, then you've got your plan A. But, you know, if you really put yourself first, and, you know, that whole self-love topic that, you know, we keep talking about every week, I promise you, if you make a little bit of effort with your own dinner, even if you end up sitting alone by the dinner table, I promise you it tastes so good, and you're going to feel so good afterwards because you've done something for yourself. You would have appreciated if someone else did it for you. So no reason why you cannot do that for yourself. Because that was, in fact, you know, the inspiration behind my cookbook. I had to learn to love myself again. I went through a phase where, you know, I was not the most secure person in myself because of the way that I walked and the way that I used to be mocked at school and all the funny nicknames people used to give me. And, you know, unfortunately, children can be very cruel and mean things, but I did have a chip on my shoulder, and I can be honest with you today, for quite some time in my life, and that was specifically in high school. And then one day I just decided, you know what? The glass is half. It's always going to be half, but it's for me to decide if it's going to be half empty or half full. You know, yes, I can't walk like a perfect normal person, but I still have a brain, and I can have, you know, and I have a personality, and I actually have two legs. They might not back in the day, they weren't the same length, but, you know, I still have two legs. There's people with no legs. So my message today is there's always something to be thankful for. And if you can keep focusing on the glass being half full and focusing on all the things that you have and that you have to be thankful for instead of focusing on the things that you don't, Danny, your mindset's going to change. The way you see things is going to change. So the way you see life is going to change. And the way you make time and spend time with other people is also going to change, because there's two things that money can't buy, and it's your time and it's your health. And if you start investing time in your own health, it will be the best investment you will ever make. Because remember, you come into this world alone and you leave this world alone. And, you know, in between arriving and leaving, it is your responsibility to be the best version of yourself every day, not for other people, but for yourself. Because if your cup is full, it's forever going to overflow to other people. But nothing can overflow from an empty cup. And that's why the love needs to start from within first. And once that cup is full, you can overflow to the people that you surround yourself with on a daily basis.
That is so true. And, you know, I really feel like this tart that we're going to make today is, you always talk about eating with your eyes, and it feels indulgent, yes, and it feels really bad, like naughty, but it's not actually, because the ingredients are all good and the fruit is fresh and it looks beautiful and it looks like one of those tarts that you would see in like a French bakery. But you can make it in your house, whether you're in Brakpan, whether you're in Joburg, whether you're in Sandton or Bovader, it's going to be the same amazing tart with the same amazing benefits. So let's quickly talk about the ingredients, Giselle, and the why behind the ingredients.
Yes, so Danny, like you say in the book, it looks so naughty, but it's oh so nice, especially from a health perspective. So we're going to start with the crust. Now, in the crust, you soak a little bit of dates. That's where the natural sweetness comes in. Now, dates is full of fiber, right? And that is fantastic for the gut. Then we mix it with a little bit of almond flour, which is alkalizing, anti-inflammatory. Always my flour of choice because of that reason specifically. And then a bit of caramel essence to put that softness and love in. Trust me, caramel essence and dates were meant to get married and live happily ever after, because there's something, wow, that caramel acid, well, caramel essence specifically, just, you know, adds to all the beautiful natural flavors of dates. And then a half a teaspoon of RX salt that you're going to add to that, because why? We always need the salt to enhance the sweetness, of course. And then for the top secret filling, people, and I suppose now that we're talking about it, it's not so secret anymore because it's also in my book, but the base is actually sweet potato mash. And then you're going to mix it with a little bit of almond butter. Now, why sweet potato? Well, first of all, this is a sneaky way of feeding children extra vegetables if they're not a number one fan of vegetables to begin with. So now you give them dessert and you as a parent get to smile because they're still eating vegetables, right? But sweet potatoes are anti-inflammatory. And then we mix it with almond butter because we're looking for that beautiful creaminess, but almonds is an alkalizer. Then your caramel and your vanilla essence, some orex salt, and then how do we sweeten up the filling? Only 2 tablespoons of raw honey. And the reason that it's only 2 is because remember dates, which is in the crust, is already sweet, but we're using sweet potato, which is naturally a little bit sweet already by default as well. And then just 3 eggs to sort of set that whole combination together. And then that's what you're going to pour into the crust and then bake that for 15 to 20 minutes. And then, of course, when it's once it's cooled off, you're going to top it with your favorite fruits. If strawberries, like on the photo, is your way to go, then fantastic. But give nectarines a try and definitely, definitely give pineapple a try. You can even sort of sprinkle it with some coconut afterwards if you really wanted to, for that real pina colada infused sort of taste. And blueberries also a little goes a long way. Blueberries are those cheeky little blue buggers that you get that's so full of antioxidants and low in calories. So a fantastic little fruit to also add on to everything, from breakfast smoothies and, of course, as a topping for this recipe.
Now, Giselle has shared this recipe with us. It's on jacarandafm.com. The pictures are going to make you want to make it this weekend, I promise you. Giselle, I always have to ask this. On a scale of 1 to Gordon Ramsay, how hard is this to make?
From 1 to Gordon Ramsay. Well, is that with or without the swear words?
Without the swear words.
The swear words. Because with the swear words, it goes up to 14 too, right? No, so I would say if you can, well, to soak some dates, Danny, is like you take a kettle with hot boiling water and you pour it over dates. Okay. And you leave it for a few minutes. So if you're impatient, then maybe that's going to be a struggle. But if you can leave it for a few minutes and then just drain it properly afterwards, that is as difficult as the crust gets, because you add the almond flour and everything to that and put a little bit of arm muscle and power in there, mash it all together and sort of then just distribute that evenly throughout your pie dish. And then for the filling, I am going to tell people now, a lot of the retail stores nowadays actually sell sweet potato mash in a 500 gram container, already cooked and steamed and perfect to use. And it's perfectly mashed as well. And for those of you that then might say, oh, but then that's going to be so much more expensive, I actually compare prices. Now, for a packet of whole sweet potato, right, the average price can be anything for a kilo between 19 to 22 bucks, depending on which retailer you go to, but it's always between 19 and 22. Now, at the same retailers, when you go and look for the sweet potato mash, it is $22.95 to $23.95. Okay. So for that one rand of effort that you can spare yourself at home, I would then buy the mash. Okay. But if you wanted to then make this mash at home, you're also more than welcome to do that. But, you know, from a difficulty point of view, taking something off the shelf, I don't know, Danny, to me that's like straightforward. You know, put it in your basket and go to the till. And then you're going to mix all the other ingredients with that. You're going to whisk the egg separately, add it to that, and pop it into the oven. So I would say, except if you struggle to arrange fruit on top of a pie, this might be a 2, 2.5 out of 10 difficulty to make this.
And I feel like the hardest part of this is actually going to be cutting the pineapple, really, if we're honest.
Yeah, or maybe going to the shops with your mask on.
Yeah, there we go. Okay, so Izelle doesn't just cook with us. Izelle has the most incredible social media presence, and she's so good at her brand of mindful eating and how she shares it with us. And so every week she cooks with one of Netflix's, the Chef's Table Chefs, Chef Graham Campbell. He's a Michelin star winning Scottish chef, and she chooses a recipe from her book, and they both cook it. He cooks it the Michelin star way, and she cooks it the Izelle Hoffman way. And there are so many great tips and tricks that happen. But Izelle, what are we cooking this week with Chef Graham tomorrow?
So Chef Graham is actually still at home in Scotland, and I sort of challenged him this week, let's go for a very easy, straightforward hake in the oven situation. So it's the herb hake fillet recipe in the book that I've challenged him. Of course, he might come with cod. Of course, he might come with all the fresh herbs that he's been foraging there in Scotland. But this is one of those recipes, if you don't have a lot of time at home, you can actually make this in a matter of 30 minutes, dinner served. It looks like you spent a lot of time in the kitchen, but you actually didn't. So this is one of my go-to recipes. You can use a box of frozen hake fillets. And I need to say that because so often you get fresh, beautiful fillets that you get to purchase. But hake fillets, you know, in a box in your freezer is one of that one evening when I forgot to make it to the shop situation. So you always have a box of that, you know, kind of stuff in your freezer on a standard. Yeah. So it's just that go-to recipe you can make use of on a night that you had a busy day, but you still want to, you know, have a good dinner. That's the recipe to use. So yes, like you say, of course, I do it the home chef mindful eating Izelle Hoffman style, and Graham puts his Michelin star chefy twist on it. And it always comes with phenomenal plating and tips on how to bring ingredients on the plate to life. So definitely not worth missing. That's every Wednesday on my Instagram live from 7 p.m. And then this week, you know, VRV season is coming to an end. So on Thursday, it's my last VRV Thursday for this year. Unfortunately, I'm so sad to let all the farmers in Zanine go. But luckily, only it's till next year, and then I'll be back. And then on Saturdays, we always talk a little bit of motoring talk and get to talk to, you know, phenomenal motor personalities in the country as well as sometimes even overseas. So for that, on Ignition's Facebook page, 12 o'clock on Saturday. So always trying to, you know, have that perfect balance between cars, coffee, and really good food, Danny. So yeah, can definitely not be complaining.
These are all of my favorite things. And I also love to see your posts where Makimura and you are in your car and you guys are doing the things with your masks on. I've just, you know, Maki's just got to observe the mask situation, but we'll get there. We'll get there.
Yeah, so I'm a proud Land Rover ambassador sponsored by Land Rover Centurion, and little Maki is also a Land Rover ambassador because Land Rover's got phenomenal pet accessories. I don't know if people is, you know, like myself, love buying gifts and things for their pets at home, but go and have a look at Land Rover's pet accessory range. It really is so phenomenal, and it's phenomenal quality. You know, attention to detail is so on point. And I promise you, I often think she's more spoiled than I am, in the sense of just, you know, I didn't get a fluffy bed with a matching little scarf and a harness and a water bowl with first Defenders like number plates on. I mean, she got a whole box full of goodies. So spoiled little speckled fur face, that is she definitely, yes.
But deserving of it. There's nothing better than a doggle. There's nothing better. Izal Hoffman, thank you so much for this. Listen, if you want to follow Izal on her Instagram, it's at Izal Hoffman. If you want to follow her on Facebook, it's at Izal Hoffman Lifestyle Chef. And I promise you, she's going to inspire you and she's going to get in your head. And even if you do one mindful meal a week, it's going to make a difference. Yes. It's going to make a difference to your whole family. You're going to see the difference in the kids, in the dogs, in how you deal with the kids and the dogs and the husband, in everything. And if you want a copy of Mindful Eating, head over to jackrandfm.com. The link to buy the ebook is there, so you don't even have to leave your house. But the bookstores are now open, so you can also do it there. But also, Izal is giving one away. All you need to do is SMS the word mindful eating to 37942 and she could be sending you a link for your ebook. Izal, thank you so much. I'm always
thanks, Danny. Thank you so much for having me again. And yes, let's become a little bit more mindful about what we put in our bodies. So to any and everyone out there, have a safe, blessed, and healthy week. Keep washing those hands. I mean, we are getting tired of hearing it, but it's a fact. We need to, unfortunately, keep doing that. Wearing those masks and eat those vegetables and fruit like your pineapple, of course. Have a blessed week, everyone.